Our theme tonight is can we stop dot dot dot, you name it. I'm hearing too many people say, well, there's nothing we can do in response to false flags, vaccines. That's not true. There are many things we can do. The first we have to do is see them for what they are and then bring momentum to transparency. The more people, you reach a critical mass, 10%, even less of the population who sees the game, then you can really start to reverse the game because, remember, it depends on the lies working. And when the lies stop working, that's what happens. There's enormous incentive to get the lies to stop working. Let me explain why. In my recent post, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who is the Fairest of Them All? It's up on Solaria.com. Let me just quote a paragraph. Quote, unfortunately, G7 governments did not bring enforcement to bear after the financial coup d'etat. Instead, they simply asked for their cut of the profits to fund more government regulations on the innocent. With insufficient transparency, including the circumstances described by Edward Snowden, the market has also not enforced. So what we are left with is a general population that has lost faith in the establishment, in the government, and the financial system, and a robber baron class dependent on ever greater amounts of dirty money and force. Now, the problem is you have a negative return on investment economy. You are behaving as a total group in a way that shrinks the pie. And the more the pie shrinks, the more desperate everybody gets. And the people who can use violence and dirty games to extract more money for themselves, to protect themselves in this circumstance, do so. It just lowers the productivity and shrinks the pie. You get into a deflationary spiral. To a certain extent, that's what we're in, prevented by massive amounts of government debt and central bank monetary debasement. So this is where the false flags come in. If we don't reverse the game, they're just going to keep coming in for greater and greater extractions. So you gotta spiral it the other way, and that's why you have to bring transparency to these tactics. So I'm constantly asked the question all week long, is what happened in Orlando? I would say there's a 99% chance it was a false flag or a staged event. That's the big question. Were there multiple shooters and an op where real people were killed, or was it staged? We don't know. The alleged shooter worked for a British securities firm, G4S, who bought Wackenhut, very famous U.S. security firm and private prison company. So this was a British firm, largest security firm in the world. So this was somebody who was cleared by G47 to work for them and to carry a gun. FYI, G47's headquarters, Wackenhut's old headquarters, is in Jupiter, Florida, 25 minutes from the Trump Palm Beach estate. So we're talking about a lot of players close together here. Possible goals, marketing more centralized control, including gun control. Notice that the response wrapped around the official story as opposed to the real story. So there's no effort to really ascertain the facts or produce evidence. There's also no discussion of the big headline in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. U.S. military had killed allies in Syria with friendly fire. Now, instead, with the Orlando shooting, U.S. can claim instead to be a victim of Islam once again. And obviously, there are numerous financial market possibilities, particularly coming into Brexit. It gives a lot of players an ability, if they're now expecting Brexit to vote leave, to move a lot of money in significant ways without necessarily being noticed. Most important are the Gallup polls that I've talked about before, but you see why terror works. Concern for the economy is much higher than concern for terrorism until the San Bernardino shooting, and then suddenly concern for terrorism shoots above the economy, then it dropped back again. Now, why is this important? Because if you look at the deterioration of general support for the executive branch, for Congress, and for our faith in sort of major institutions, it's really at near an all-time low. And when that happens, the general population decides there's no need to support government. We're better off without them. Why should we pay our taxes? Why should we follow regulations? And you start to have people pull away from the system. Suddenly, what polls show is when terror is a chief concern of the population, they want government, they need government. They approve money for security, more securities. They approve more money for IT surveillance done by the big defense contractors. And so reality, though, is the opposite. if you look at what's going on, we're much better off with less money for security, less money for centralizing IT, less money for private armies, less money for gun control. Rather, we should reduce the number of government agencies that can carry weapons and make arrests or apply civil money penalties. The reality is the more we fund private mercenaries and big military companies through defense contracts, the more we get false flags. And if you notice, the headlines after this one was the problem was homegrown terrorist. We need more money for surveillance and intelligence. We need more money, that means, for Lockheed Martin, DynCorp. If you haven't read my stuff on DynCorp, there's plenty about it. G4S, large, essentially professional corporate mercenary armies, or the companies whose IT supports private corporate mercenary armies. So the last thing we need to do is to push for more of our tax dollars financing more power and more control. I always tell the story when I was at HUD about how I used to ask Lockheed for data and they would refuse to give it to me. So, you know, basically I, as Assistant Secretary of Housing, couldn't get basic data on my own operation. Of course, we see more push for gun control, particularly from the Democrats. No one was caring because in Florida, it's specifically outlawed to carry a concealed weapon in a place that serves alcoholic beverages. You notice that this false flag took place in a place where people couldn't carry. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't. There was a security guard outside, but that was the only one. Orlando is a huge Lockheed installation right next to Disney. A Lockheed executive once complained to me that they created the technology and then had to give it to Disney. They created it for military training. Some people say they created it for mind control operations. Then they gave it to Disney, and Disney got all the credit because, of course, nobody on the covert side wants it. Everybody attributing all those fabulous cartoons to Lockheed. Anyway, so you've got Lockheed and you've got Disney right there. It's interesting, if everybody started looking and researching all the corporate headquarters and installations where false flags happened and started trying to connect the possible dots, I assure you, large corporations would work hard to make sure false flags don't happen in their area. Maybe that's a good first step. Alexander said, quote, a well-regulated militia, quote, would help safeguard the freedom of the new republic because it would make the creation of a professional mercenary army unnecessary. And we're headed in the opposite direction. The more we fund private professional mercenary armies, the more we get these kinds of false flags. There's a connection. Don't be surprised if it's a direct connection. So we have a lot of negative return on investment economy players. They're desperate for their next fix. The more we give them, the more productivity will be harmed. It's an enormous and growing tax on society. So Orlando is not good news, and in fact, there's a lot we can do about it if we turn around our response to it and bring transparency and help help everybody else do it. Richard Dolan's writing a great book on false flags. It should be ready by January as soon as it's out. You know, buy 10, take one, and give 9 of your best friends that book. Everybody needs to read it. Money and markets. On Tuesday, the yields on 10-year German bonds went negative on Brexit fears, as the polls show that the Leave voters are moving significantly ahead of Stay votes. That's by about 7%, it looks like. The vote will be on June 23rd to decide if the UK leaves the EU. Remember, the UK continued to keep the pound, never came into the euro, but there are real questions as to the pressure this will put on the EU, other countries wanting to make special deals, and it'll just make it harder to stay together. Fed announcement this afternoon, no increase in interest rates, as was expected. Brexit was clearly a factor. Concern about China and what would happen to the yuan if the dollar got stronger, it was an issue. And then, of course, the employment figures. The indication from the governors is that they plan to do one interest rate within 2016, dollar down a little bit on the news. The Bilderberger meeting was in Dresden late last week. The Bilderberger chairman, oddly enough, came out and warned that there's an extremely high possibility of Brexit, which surprised me. So you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. As I said, push for gun control, very significant, particularly coming from the Democrats in the House and Senate. How much is it related to Orlando shooting? Very little. I think the Orlando shooting is related to the marketing campaign to get gun control. If you're looking at the leadership staring at the cash flows, they know they want to cut Social Security. They want to pass Trans-Pacific Partnership. They need to address the pension problems, and they want to radically re-engineer state and local government and privatize more local things, including schools. Guns are standing in the way of harvesting and re-engineering the local economies. If it happens, if they bring the guns in and then are free to do what they want, be prepared to watch some devastating and astonishing things happen to the economy, including the privatization of many, many things.